We're preaching, we're continuing in Luke. Are you enjoying Luke? He's good, isn't it? I've properly enjoyed it. It's fantastic. It's like really, really good. But this week, we're going to preach from chapter 6, verses 17 to 36. If you've got your phones, got your Bibles, it's going to be up there what we're talking about. But as normal, we're just going to go back and remind us what we're talking about last week. So last week, Jesus was making a really big decision. So, and he was putting the first leaders in the church. He was appointing the apostles. So how did Jesus make big decisions? He prayed. You're listening. Well done. So if Jesus prays, you need to pray before you make big decisions. It's very simple, isn't it? Yeah? He needs to pray. And then he prayed. So he prayed all night. And then he came down. And he must have been tired after praying all night. And after he prayed all night, I would have gone to sleep. But Jesus cracked on. And he appointed the apostles. So when you pray, when you hear from God, crack on. Yeah? Crack on. And he appointed these 12 guys. And again, I wouldn't have appointed those 12 guys. They're useless from a worldly point of view. But actually, what God sees is different to what man sees, isn't it? And he saw these guys' heart. Yeah, and he saw them. Yeah, and what God sees is different to what man sees. And we see that through the Bible. And God must have seen, and Jesus must have seen, their faith, their willingness to follow. These guys had followed Jesus. Yeah, their willingness just to go on this journey. Didn't matter where they were, but they were willing to follow, and they were willing to be faithful ultimately and obedient. Yeah, so it didn't matter where they were. All right, they cocked up lots. Did these guys, yeah, they ended up abandoning Jesus. They epically failed. If it was a test, they epically failed. But actually, you know, they followed and they were obedient and faithful to me and filled with the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. So he prayed. Big questions that I got quite legitimately throughout the week is, all right, Stephen, all right. Jesus, yeah, he prayed, that's good. And he's, you know, he heard and he got these names of the apostles. But how do you actually hear from God? How do you actually hear from God? And so a few people throughout the week said, we'd love to know how actually Jesus heard from God. And also Andy Parr sent me a text message, so I must have been in trouble. And he said, I think you need to tell them how do you hear from God, Steve? It's a very good sermon. It was very polite, but actually, I better do it. So we're going to take a quick detour, and we're going to very quickly to appease Andy Parr. So how do you hear from God? Yeah. Well, number one, the Bible. If you're not hearing from God and you're not reading the Bible, come back to me when you're reading it. Seriously, come back. If you want to hear from God, he has told you about the things he cares about. He has shown you what not to do, what to do. Yeah, he's shown you his love for you, his grace for you. He's talking. There's a lot of pages in the Bible, right? If you want to know what God is saying, open your Bible and read it. Yes. Very simple, isn't it? Yeah. If you're not, you're probably not hearing from God. Yeah, and that's probably why, in fairness. So number one, the Bible. And actually that would be number two, three, four, five, the Bible. Yeah? Come back to me when you start reading it. Yeah? Number two, through the life of Jesus. Yeah, we see what Jesus did in the Bible. Copy that. Jesus prayed, we pray. Very simple, isn't it? So we see through the life of Jesus. God talks to us through the life of Jesus. Yeah? God uses nature to show his glory. Yeah? Yeah, with your eyes. Like God spoke to me through nature in the park. You know, I was talking to Pete and Dan, and God spoke to me in Witton Park. Yeah? God uses nature and the things of God. Yeah? Through other believers. Yeah? God speaks to me through hopefully preaching. Yeah, listen to preaching and hopefully God will speak to you through books. Who reads Christian books? Yeah, not reading is not for everybody, but actually godly men writing and women writing books will speak to you. Yeah, are you listening? Yeah, through friends, godly friends. Yeah, do they give you good advice? Listen to them. That's how God speaks to you. Yeah, through groups and of people and things like that. That's how God speaks to you. Through music. Who's ever had God speak to them through music or praise and worship? Yeah, that's how God speaks to you, through pictures. You've had a dam this morning that God's going to break through, a man-made dam. That's a picture. God speaks through pictures. God speaks through dreams. I've had a dream from God, and I act, yeah. God speaks through dreams, yeah? God speaks through circumstances, yeah? I went for a job. I know this has happened to people recently, and me. I go for a job. I don't get the job. That's God speaking. That job's not for you. I go for the job. I get the job. That's God speaking. This job is for you. That's just one example, yeah? You know, that's how God speaks to you. You know, you want to go and church plant for us. It didn't happen. That's God saying, no, I don't want you there. God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through His Spirit. Yeah, just little nudges through feelings. You know, actually, I don't feel good about that, or I do feel good about this. Or actually, that's wrong and that's right. Have you ever had that? Little nudges, or God just gives you a peace about something. Yeah, just yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, or yeah. God, that's how God speaks to you. In fact, this list is not exhaustive. God has the whole of the universe to speak to you. He knows you intimately enough to know your language, and He will use anything and everything to speak to you. The question is, are you listening? The question is, are you listening? Yeah, one other audible voice. If you hear God's audible voice, if you look in the Bible, I would run. Yeah, because every example when God hears that somebody hears an audible voice, it's because it's God's grace, because He's got something really hard for you to do. Check it out in the Bible, yeah? Samuel, you know, speak Lord as a child. His job was to go tell the guy looking after him that his whole family were going to be wiped out. That's hard. That's an audible voice. You know, when Isaiah sees his picture vividly of God on the throne room, his message is, well, what I want you to do, Isaiah, I want you to go preach to these people. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to do what you tell them. And I already know. And it's going to be hard. Yeah, John, in Revelation, he says some hard stuff in there. He says a really vivid picture of Jesus, and Jesus talks to him, and he has to tell the churches some home truth and some of Revelation, which is hard. So if God speaks to you in an audible voice, panic. Yeah, but it's His grace, because He needs to encourage you. He needs to be that vivid, because it's going to be hard. Yeah, so is that helpful? And yeah, so God uses anything to speak to you, anything at all. But the question is, are you listening? But first, read your Bible, boys and girls. Yeah, if you want to know what He has to say, read your Bible. Yeah, right. End of lecture. Right, and Andy Paul will hopefully be happy now. Good. So anyway, that's where we were. So. Well, Luke chapter 6, verses 17. Here we go. So this is what's happening after. When they came down from the mountain, so He just chose His disciples, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area surrounded by many of His followers and by the crowds. And there were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch Him, because healing power went out from Him and He healed everyone. There's about 20 sermons in there, I reckon. Yeah, but just to set the scene, okay, so Jesus comes down from the mountain where He'd chosen His disciples, yeah, and his disciples are stood on a flat plain area with Him, and Jesus is surrounded by His followers and surrounded by the crowd as well. So there's two sets of people here. There's people who are following Jesus, His followers, and just the guys kind of just watching to see what's happening. Yeah, and they're surrounding Jesus on this flat plain. And there's people, the Bible tells us, there's people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and far north as sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. That's like saying there were people who come on foot to listen to Jesus from Edinburgh, yeah, from Glasgow, from Cumbria, and they'd all gone down south to they come a long way. Lots of people had come. Oh, this was a big thing happening in this country. Can you imagine, like, from the four corners of Wales, come to hear what Jesus has to say? Yeah, there was a lot of interest. It was massive. It was exciting what was going on. It was a little bit like devoted, but everybody had come on foot or on donkey, yeah, from all over the country, but more people. Can you imagine that about 2,000 years ago? That, can you imagine the atmosphere of that? The atmosphere, yeah? And they come to hear Jesus. They come to be healed by Jesus. So disabled people and people who would struggle with mobility had travelled a long way to come to be healed by Jesus. Get your head around that, yeah? So there was a cost to it, and to be healed of troubled spirits. Yeah, so these were messy, but they were messy people. They said, you know, people who were struggling, I imagine, to be healed by Jesus. And they come to hear him to be healed. Despite their infirmities, they come to Jesus. And then the Bible says, verse 14, everybody tried to touch him. So can you imagine just all these people piling round Jesus, trying to... So you imagine everybody in devoted trying to pile round one man to touch him, to be healed by Jesus. That's what was going on. So it would have been like a scrum, I imagine. And they just wanted to touch Jesus. There'd be no queuing, there'd be no Englishness nice, waiting line, whatever. They were piling on because they were desperate to be touched and to be healed by Jesus. And the Bible said, get this, his love, that he healed everyone. If it were me, I would have started shouting at them and saying, get in line, or just hold your horses, be patient. You can imagine the disciples freaking out, can't you? Can you imagine that picture? But he healed everyone. Yes. Everyone. I want to ask you this morning, that with these guys, they were desperate to be healed and willing to come. What are your expectations this morning? Are you here to hear from Jesus? I'm not Jesus, but this is hopefully his word. These people were desperate. Yeah? Are you willing? If you need healing from something, these guys were scrumming to Jesus, running, they travelled. How desperate are you? And the desperation, they were healed. How desperate are you to be healed this morning? Yeah, and he healed them. And strongholds in your life. Yeah, these guys had unclean spirits cast out of them. They were wanting to come to Jesus. They were desperate to get to Jesus, to have these things removed from their lives. Are you desperate to come to Jesus, to have strongholds removed from your lives? Because this is what these guys were doing. It's what happened. Yeah? It's challenging, isn't it? But we're a bit too British. We sit in our chairs and often do. How desperate are you? How desperate? And Jesus healed everyone. Wonderful. And then, so that's all, that's the picture, that's all happening. So a lot happening, yeah. And then Jesus gets into some teaching, right? Oh, when I read this, I went, Jesus, you said some really rough things, my word. It was like, these are challenging things. He could have just been a little bit nicer, in fairness, couldn't he, a little bit more British, but he weren't. This is the stuff that Jesus says. Now, I think this is the concept. This is the Beatitudes, and you find the Beatitudes in Matthew. Yeah? Now, this is the same kind of words, but the context is very, very different in Luke. He's saying it to different people in slightly different context. And I think this is what happened. So let's see. So then Jesus turns to his disciples. So he's talking to the disciples, not the crowd. Jesus turns to the disciples, his followers, and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who are weak now, for in due time you will laugh. Yeah. Now, how many Bible studies have you sat through and gone through the Beatitudes, and everybody nods and says, hey, wasn't that brilliant? And then, actually, I have no idea what he's talking about. It doesn't, does it? It's like, what? It's what? You know, but actually, this is how loving and merciful, if you move it back, loving and merciful Jesus is. So he's talking to his followers. Now, if I was starting a worldwide religion, right, okay, this is what I would do. When I've appointed these people, 12 people, and his followers, I would have gone, do you know what? Life, Steph, is going to be great. We're going to have a fantastic time. It's going to be, life is going to, you're just going to, we're going to dance around life. There's going to be no problems, no issues. Being a Christian, it's just fun. Yeah? We're going to be great, lads. It's going to be fantastic, isn't it? Yeah? Jesus is not saying that he's gracious enough. He is gracious and loving enough to tell his followers the truth from the offset. Yeah? He's telling them the truth from the offset about what the Christian life is going to be. And he's actually encouraging them about leading the Christian life. Yeah, so it doesn't sound like encouragement, does it? Yeah, but I can imagine him looking at his disciples who had left their homes, left everything, yeah, in this plain, probably a little bit warmer in Israel, but like they might have been cold, they didn't have nice beds, they're probably a bit fed up. Yeah, it was tough, that's what he was looking at. And Jesus encourages them, and he encourages them by telling the truth and saying, do you know what, Christian life is not always fun. That's what he'd be saying. It's not about enjoying and having a fun and having a great time, which is what I would have told them. Yeah. He's saying, the context is, being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, can be hard work, it can be horrible, it can be lonely, it has a cost, and it doesn't always, from a worldly point of view, have a happy ending. That's the context. Most of the people that Jesus was talking to, his 12 that he just appointed, would have a very, very grisly death. Peter was crucified upside down. Yeah, they would die. And the first thing, pretty much, he's saying to his followers, it's going to be really hard. Yeah, it's going to be really hard. Yeah. And I was struck by, I was reading Peter this week, and you know what, Peter, it's all, this letter from Peter is all about the Christian life being really, really hard. And he's saying, guys, you're going to get persecuted. It's really, really hard. It's hard. Yeah, and he's encouraging them. And actually, even in Paul's letters, when we come to pray for the prayer meeting, how often do we pray? Or in our house groups, we go, dear Lord Jesus, this really difficult situation, please take it away from me. You know, I need to resolve it. Go, come Lord Jesus, you know, I need this happening and this work situation. Please, Lord, take it away. I don't see Paul, Peter, or the apostles praying like that. I see them, dear Lord, give us more faith, give us more endurance, give us more patience in these really, really difficult situations. What does it say how we should pray? Yeah. But he's encouraging because he's gracious. So he says, Jesus says, God blesses you who are poor now. There's going to be times where financially and just like in everything you're going to be poor as a follower of Jesus. And these guys, they will be poor. You know, so God blesses you who are poor. I'm going to add, for my sake now, do you know what? For the kingdom of God is yours. It's good, that, isn't it? For the kingdom of God is yours. Doesn't matter what you're going through now, because the kingdom of God is yours. Which would you rather have? And he's saying, God blesses you when you're hungry now and you're struggling. Might be hungry for all sorts of things, yeah? Hungry now. Because you will be satisfied. You will be satisfied. That's a good promise, isn't it? God blesses you when you weep now, when you cry now, when tears pour down your face in the difficulties. For in due time, you will laugh. That's what he's saying to these disciples. And that's what Jesus is saying to you. And us, yeah. That's a fault, but it's not easy. The Christian life. He doesn't mess about, does Jesus, does he? Yeah, and that's what he's saying. He says, what blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? Now, some people use this bit of the Bible to be horrible people. Have you ever seen these people on Facebook? This is a license to basically for me to be a horrible person. Yeah, have you ever seen horrible Christians like that? It's like, no, it's not. It's not. You know, we're to be a people of grace and kindness and love. That's our love. That's what we do. We're not supposed to be horrible, rude people. If you're a horrible, rude Christian, stop it. Jesus doesn't like it. Yeah? But in the Bible, being a Christian is counter-cultural. It goes against the culture. Yeah, I was reading an article in the Times this week, and basically this woman writing, this columnist, has basically said this country is in a lot of trouble because it's kind of forgotten its Christian ethics, really. That's what she was saying. I thought it was quite brave for a, you know, if you ever read the comments bit, my word, she got the most comments in the day, and I have never seen the level of hate against her saying, like, how dare you say that? Disgusting, you know. It was just, I mean, thousands of horrific, the anger, yeah, the anger. It was incredible. But Christians, you know, if you're a Christian, if you're a proper Christian, you believe some difficult things. Like things like there's a God. A lot of people don't like the fact that there is a God. They don't like it. The things like you, there is a hell. People do not like that. Yeah? But it's true. Yeah? But this culture doesn't like that. Some things about behaviour that Christians have the audacity to say that God says some things are wrong. And how dare us as Christians have a right to judge me? Yeah, that's what people get cross about. Well, we're not judging you, but God will judge you. Because he's God's standard. Yeah? People don't like it. They get cross. Really cross. Saying things like homosexuality is wrong. It's a sin. As is pride, as is adultery, as is disobedience, as is all the other sins. Yeah? People don't like it. Because it's counterculture. They get mad. It's deeply, deeply unpopular. If potentially, from what the sentence I just said before, people would get very mad at me. Yeah, they would. Saying things like Jesus is Lord and God, and is the way, the truth, and life, and Hinduism is not, Islam is not, Judaism is not, humanism is not, secularism is not, atheism is not, and they are lying, is deeply unpopular. Yeah? People won't like it, but it's the truth. I didn't make it unpopular. Saying things in your context, guys, saying things like Allah is not God, Muhammad is not his prophet, Allah is a demon, and Muhammad is a false prophet, and Jesus is the Son of God, is deeply offensive in this country and deeply offensive in other countries enough to get you killed. Is that right? Yeah. Deeply offensive. But is it true? You need to decide. Tackling injustice is deeply unpopular because it costs money and taxes and it's inconvenient. Christianity has been, is the most persecuted, hated faith ever. It's weird, isn't it, to say that we are people of grace and peace and love and that, but the world hates it. That, you know, we're weird that we're not persecuted more. Seriously, like, there's guys sat here that have had to leave their country, their home, their families, because of their Christianity. That's like the default Christianity. We're weird in this country because it's deeply offensive. Why? Why? Because the Bible says, to those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are the life-giving perfume of eternal life. Yeah? Amen. Yeah? So Jesus says, what blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? When that happens, Be happy. Leap for joy. Yeah? For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets the same way. There's people, there's some of our youth in our congregation who have been mocked and abused for their faith this week. And do you know what? Wow. Strength. Yeah? Really. You know, you're going to get mocked and abused. That's the cost. It is. That's what's going to happen. But be happy. There may be sorrows now, but in due time there will be joyful laughter and rejoicing. So what is God saying to his people? Jesus saying to his people, he's saying, you're going to be blessed. 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 He says it four times. Yeah? But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, but you're going to be blessed. Jesus says some stuff, doesn't he? He does say some stuff. And then it gets worse. So Jesus then says, he talks about sorrows. Whew. I sat here looking, reading this, thinking, oh gee, why did you say this? It's like, they're not going to like me. But this is what he says. He says, as he turns to a different group of people, and he says, what sorrows await you who are rich? For you have only happiness now. What sorrows awaits you who are fat and prosperous now? For a time of awful hunger awaits you. That really, we don't like that very much in the West, do we? We don't preach on that too much. You said it. But it's Jesus talking about priorities and values. Yeah, so he's not saying we need to all live in huts. He's not saying that. Yeah, but he's telling you now, if you invest all your life and all your energy into acquiring wealth, it's not going to end well. Basically, that's what he's saying. If you live for money, not just because, oh, I'm not on money, but nice houses, nice cars, nice things, nice, you know, nice job. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, in the West? You know, I want this, I want this, I want this, you know. If you are living for that, you are going to be deeply, deeply, deeply disappointed. And he says you're going to be sorrowful. If you are all about material things, it is going to end badly. All what sorrow awaits you. I quote Jesus. That's what he says. You can't take it with you. And you will live a deeply unfulfilled life. People who are rich are miserable. Most of the rich people I have met are miserable. Why? Because they've just like, that's what they've done. I'm talking people who just are all about money and materialism. You can't take it with you, and you will live a deeply unfilled life, and you will have a deep hunger that awaits you. If money is your God, if material things, not just money, houses, everything is God, money is a false God. It's a false God. We laugh at... When you're reading the Bible, walk through the Bible? I bet you are, Christian. I'm reading it at the moment. But we kind of read these little guys. I said, oh, put away your idols, put away all this. Oh. And you have these pictures of these little Israelites, like a bit like cavemen, don't you? And they've got these little idols, like, okay. And basically, they come and they bring their things to it and they worship these little gold things. Or like, you think, I'm not as stupid and weird. Like, we've grown up since then in the West, haven't we? Yeah? Yeah, we wouldn't do something. I'm fine, I'm not going to do that. Yeah? That's what, have you ever had that imagination? I'm fine, this is not talking to me, this piece of scripture. Yeah? Last week I went to Manchester Arndale Centre. Right? Okay. And I'm telling you, that place is a temple to false gods. It's a temple to false gods. Yeah? So Lush, if you have this product, I love Lush, it smells lovely. Have you ever been to the shop? Come and worship at the temples and the shops. You know, because this is what's important in life. Yeah? Have you ever done, I'm not saying don't go to shops, it's great, but actually they are little temples with little idols that we worship, that people worship. And everybody not sat in a church will be at shopping more, won't they? If you were here, you'd be shopping. And that's where the people are, they're worshipping at these temples. These false gods, these little idols of Apple. The Apple shop, there'll be hundreds of people in the Apple shop, like worshipping these little weird gizmos, aren't they? And they're like, oh, you're like, aren't they? Well, you know, that's true. Yeah. And we work in this country longer than any other country. Yeah, why? Because we have to sacrifice our offerings, to give offerings to all these little temples. We do, don't we? The temple of Amazon, the temple of Apple, the temple of Samsung, the temple of car shops, the temple of this, you know. And actually, you know, and TV adverts are preaching at us, yeah, saying we're rubbish unless we have this. Yeah, it's the false teaching of Mammon. That's the god of money, that's what Jesus calls it. It's a false god, it's money. Yeah. In this country, we're sacrificing marriages, families, well-being of children, sometimes unborn children, onto the altar of capitalism. Are we? The altar of capitalism to this false god. We're messed up. We're just as bad as these guys in Israel. It's freaking it. The gauge of whether this country is doing well or not, if you listen to the news, is down to gross domestic product. So whether this country is doing well or not is down to how much money it makes, or the people, the money it makes. Yeah? How much money is a country we're making? Do you know what? God's gauge of whether this country is doing good is, are we just to the poor? Is justice done in the courts? Are the widows and the orphans looked after well? Not gross domestic product. God did not create you made to make money. You were made in the image of God to have a relationship with Him. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you believe that? The God of this country is capitalism, is mammon. Yeah, for most people. It's a false God. And Jesus says, what sorrows await you who are rich? For you have only your happiness now. Yeah? What's, if you have that, what sorrows await you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. Yeah? Christians, same for me, only when I was reading, I like capitalism, I like buying nice shiny things as well. Am I making decisions to worship this false god? Yeah? Do you make yourself feel good by doing a little bit of shopping and buying a nice thing? Who's done that? I do that. Yeah, come on, ladies. Yeah. And gents, yeah. But actually, are we worshipping a false god? You know, it's challenging. What sorrows await you who laugh now? For laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. In this country, there's an eternal quest for happiness. People just want to live a happy life, don't they? Yeah, and enjoy themselves, don't they? Yeah, life is about having a laugh. Yeah, going on nice holidays, nice shots on Facebook. Yeah, but I just need to be happy. Happiness is so important. Having a good time is so. If I'm not happy, so I went to Alton Towers yesterday. I'm not happy. It was terrible. I'm never going again. But the people go there to make themselves happy. Yeah, they do. That's the quest without God. That's what you try and find. Yeah, life is about, there's a word for it, it's called hedonism. It's a really old word. Yeah? So guys I used to work with lived for the weekend. So they worked all day to spend all the week to spend the money at the weekend to have a good time and a party. And then they do that until the summer holidays where they go to another country and have another debauched party. And that was their life. Yeah, that's what they worshipped. Happiness. Yeah, just indulging myself. So watching a programme about Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, that guy just, it was a nasty programme, don't watch it, but he just indulged himself. And it was all about sex and money and power and enjoying yourself. And, you know, that's what his life was about. Life is not about that. And Jesus says, oh, what sorrows will come to you if your life is about that. Life is about being in a relationship with Jesus. You were created to glorify God, not just to be happy. Yeah, you were created to glorify God and be in a relationship with Him. That is what life is about. Yeah? Carol continues, what sorrows await you who are praised by the crowd, for their ancestors were also praised by false prophets. Peep fame, that's a big thing in culture, isn't it? Yeah? People who just live to be praised and worshipped by man. I love people liking me. I love people thinking I'm cool, but some people just live for what other people think about them, don't they? To be praised by man. Yeah, real life TV. Yeah? Celebrity. Yeah, the whole life is about being adored by mankind. Yeah, we love that. Yeah, you know, all these big guys, Freddie Mercury, David Bowie, you know, Britney Spears, Billie Eilish. I'm not that up to date, all right, I could tell you. You know, but actually, these guys are famous. At the root of it is like, so men and women will adore me and worship me. So I will be praised by the crowd. Love Island, that is a dumb idea. It's a very, very, it's like the crack cocaine of TV programmes, isn't it? These people are going to get annihilated by the media. It's going to mess their lives up. I was watching another documentary about Little Mix, Jessie, she went for a TV programme to become famous. It's the worst thing that happened in her life. She's been annihilated. You know, it's not her fault, but actually, you know, what sorrow she has gone through because she wanted to be praised by man. You know, that's the lie that Satan tells you. Yeah, even Napoleon, Hitler, who's watched Troy, the film Troy? Have you ever watched with Brad Pitt? It's like, so who does Brad Pitt play? Is it Hercules? Yeah, Hercules. So Brad Pitt's whole point of doing what he does and winning these battles is because I want people to remember me and be famous. Do you think Hercules cares when he's dead? Does it matter whether he's famous? Does it matter whether we talk about him now? Does it matter what Brad Pitt does and how famous he is when he's dead? He ain't going to care. He's going to be dead. What he will care about is he in heaven or is he in hell? Did he live in a way that glorified God and is, you know, what his maker have required? Yeah, what sorrows await from you? Yeah, and their answers also praise false prophets. There are false prophets in the United Kingdom now. Now, they don't stand in temples and do like they all, you know, in the Bible. But your adverts, you know, you're being preached at by false prophets all the time. You know, I tried to find the nicest false prophet I could find. Yeah, Walt Disney. Who loves Walt Disney? Yeah, but what Disney preaches at you. But Disney said, all our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. That sounds lovely, doesn't it? Is that true? No! It's like, but there's millions of people living their life that way. Walt Disney is a false... As much as I love Mickey Mouse, Walt Disney is a false prophet. You are being preached to by false prophets all the time. And that is what Jesus is saying. Yeah, that is what Jesus... Rough. Yeah? He's to Jesus, he's committing ongoing spiritual warfare in Luke. He's defeated Satan in the wilderness. Yeah, we talked about that and said Satan had a gin and tonic that night because he were defeated for the first time ever. The gates of hell shook. He declared war in the synagogue, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor." He declared war on the kingdom of darkness and the power of darkness that day. And people didn't like it in the synagogue, yeah? And after that, he went round and the demons fled. They ran away because they knew who was the Messiah, yeah? He touched social outcasts, people who were untouchable, yeah? The lepers, and he healed them. He changed their lives. This is this Jesus, yeah? He was eating and partying and welcoming with scum. This is this Jesus saying, you know, it's the unwell that need doctors, not the well. Yeah, it's the sinners. At least scum realise they're scum. You know what I mean? Yeah? Tax collectors, yeah? They're in a better place. Jesus healed all who came to him. Jesus said he had the authority to heal sin. He's saying he's God. That's big news. He's healing people with broken, withered hearts and hands, like Christiana talked about. It's what he's doing in Luke. He's saying, what do you prefer, the old wine or the new wine? The old comfortable life or the other one that I've got for you? Old religion. He's calling out the Pharisees about prioritising stupid rules about the Sabbath before people. He's praying. He's calling the 12 apostles, putting in the foundations of the new people together. He's having nations come to Tyre, Sidon, Jerusalem, come to him to be healed, to listen to his teaching. He's casting out demons. Yeah, he's encouraging his disciples. Yeah, by saying it's going to be tough, boys and girls. It's going to be hard. And now he's calling out idols and false prophets. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's calling out false prophets and idols, and he's saying, this is what is going to happen to you, boys and girls, if you follow these false prophets. Luke is a war, is a story so far of spiritual warfare, and Jesus is rampaging. And the kingdom of God was advancing. Is that not exciting? Jesus is ripping it up, yeah? Kingdom of God is advancing. This morning, are you hearing from God? If you're not, read the Bible. Yeah, listen to him. Are you listening? The question is not, is he speaking? The question is, are you listening? What are your expectations of today? Are you like the guys who were scrumming towards Jesus, piling on to be healed, to have strongholds and unclean spirits thrown out? Are you listening to his teaching? Yeah? Are we a bit too British? Yeah? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and in the future. The same things happen. All you need to do is reach out like these guys. Do you need encouraging? Are you having a tough old time? Are bad things happening in your faith? Yeah? Is it not nice being a Christian? Well, Jesus is encouraging, saying, what joy. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Stick with me through the hard times. Be blessed. We sang it. Every blessing you pour out. We sang it. Yeah? Be blessed. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Are you not popular? Jesus never said we'd be popular. He never said that. But Jesus called us to be faithful, obedient, full of grace, full of mercy, like he was. Are you worshipping false gods? Seriously. Are you, sometimes I do, are you worshipping false gods? God of materialism? Is there a stronghold in your life about it? Are you listening to false prophets? Or are you following Jesus? Do you know what? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes and trusts in him will have eternal life. Mammon never said that. Lush never says that. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for that we can hear, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your healing. We thank you that demons fleed, that false idols were toppled, that and you were truthful. You said it as it was, Lord Jesus. Wow, Lord Jesus, give us more patience and endurance. And we thank you for those blessings, the blessings, the blessings, the blessings, when there's sorrow and when we're hungry and when we're facing hard times and we're facing this, you say, bless, 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 joy, 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 dancing, dancing, leaping. Lord Jesus, help us be follow your word. Come, Holy Spirit. We just ask this for your glory and your glory alone. Break those dams in our life, the man-made things, Lord Jesus. We just ask it in your name. Amen.